Chapter 1. Bred for Violence. In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, there exist creatures of savage instinct and insidious design, born from the depths of ancient warcraft and genetic engineering. These beings, known as orcs, are the epitome of war incarnate. Devoid of empathy, untouched by remorse, and unfamiliar with guilt, they are beings not of flesh and blood as we know it, but more akin to a relentless, unstoppable plague. The orcs were conceived eons ago by the Old Ones, and were known as the Crocs. Designed as a hyper-intelligent, megalithic war machine, each the size of a Primarch, forged to wage war against the cold, unyielding Necrons. However, as the war that shattered stars came to an inevitable conclusion, so did the might of the Crocs. The brilliance of their engineering led them to evolve at an accelerated rate whilst at war, but devolve in the absence of violence into what the galaxy now fears as the Orcs. Creatures not birthed but grown, their life cycle a grotesque parody of natural order, spawning from spores and evolving from the lowliest of snotlings into mighty orc boy warriors. The orc infestation on a planet is like a dark symphony of destruction, a relentless onslaught that embeds itself deeply into the fabric of its host world. Their presence is a terminal affliction, a green tide of death that sweeps over civilizations, leaving nothing but ruin in its wake. Do not be fooled by their crude demeanor and seemingly instinctive nature. To underestimate them is to invite doom. Once their warpath begins, it marks the beginning of the end for even the mightiest of worlds. Their wars are attritional nightmares, grinding down the morale of the bravest defenders until nothing remains but shattered spirits and broken bodies. Their warfare defies logic. It's a maddening blend of primal instinct and a mysterious, passive psychic ability. This latent power, unknown to them, fuels their impossible war machines, contraptions of destruction born from sheer belief and willpower. They bend reality to their whims, creators of a nightmarish world they scarcely understand. In essence, the Orcs are a living, breathing existential threat, a testament to a war that should have ended eons ago, yet continues to burn, a darkly enduring legacy of the 41st millennium. Chapter 2. Chaos and Mech Boys. In the relentless galaxy of the 41st millennium, the Orcs stand apart, immune to the frailties that plague humankind, such as the concept of surrender. Their approach to conquest is primal yet effective, driven by a powerful genetic impulse to wage war. Strategies, if one could call them that, often seem to arise from the chaotic amalgamation of rusted metal and innate violence. Their tactics, if observed at all, are born not of planning, but of a savage serendipity. They swarm their foes with a brute force that is both terrifying and awe-inspiring. Their desire to inflict and endure suffering, a spectacle of primal war. Within this green tide of ultra-violence, reason and rationality are drowned. Even the most resolute regiments of the Astra Militarum find their courage waning in the face of such an onslaught. Thus, in many a desperate hour, the Imperium has resorted to the grim finality of Exterminatus to halt their advance, the total annihilation of a world. Conceived by the Old Ones as instruments of war, the Orcs were the anvil to the Eldar's scalpel, a blunt, inexorable force of destruction. Revering their creators as the mythical Brain Boys, the Orcs' existence is war, as vital to them as air and sustenance are to others. This insatiable lust for conflict is so ingrained that they are as likely to turn on each other as they are upon their enemies. Despite what appears as a haphazard approach to technology, the Orcs possess advanced machinery, overseen by a caste known as the Mech Boys. Much like the tech priests of the Adeptus Mechanicus, these Orcs rely on intuition and born knowledge rather than formal understanding. Yet, they not only maintain, but innovate. Driven by an instinctual grasp of mechanics, a testament to their latent psychic prowess and their mysterious connection to the warp. One might witness a mech boy who favors a machine gun approach to craftsmanship, smashing and bolting together scraps into formidable technology. It's perhaps by some cosmic grace or a dark design that the orcs are blissfully unaware of their psychic potential. For if they were to harness this power fully, the Imperium of Man would face a threat beyond reckoning. The collective psychic energy of the orcs is a force that defies comprehension. Their shared belief can alter reality. The notorious Red Ones Go Faster is a testament to this, whereby war boys painting their kit red seems to make it, in fact, go faster. Their bizarre yet frightening ability enables them to traverse the warp and turn rudimentary weapons into instruments of unimaginable destruction, powered solely by collective belief. Chapter 3, Anatomy and Evolution. In the arcane annals of the Imperium, the physiology of the orcs is a subject of both revulsion and reluctant fascination. Engineered as the ultimate biological weapon, these creatures are a marvel of war-forged biology. Orcs derive their sustenance not from the conventional means of nourishment, but through a self-sustaining cycle of fungal life. Born from spores, they are both fungus and warrior, a bizarre amalgamation of plant and flesh, growing from mere spores into the hulking brutes that terrorize the galaxy. The mysteries of their growth and their potential for photosynthesis or symbiosis with algae remain enshrouded in secrecy, known only to a select few within the most reclusive orders of the Imperium. For the soldiers on the front lines, a more pressing and macabre fact looms large: the orcs' near indestructible nature. They lack the critical organs that would typically be targeted in combat. An orc can sustain grotesque wounds and yet continue to fight with relentless ferocity. A severed limb or a gaping wound is, to them, merely an inconvenience, a minor setback in their unending lust for battle. The enigma of an orc's growth is as perplexing as it is terrifying. Their size and strength seem to be directly correlated with their martial prowess and the fear they instill in others, a brutal meritocracy where the strongest and most violent rise to the top. In the eyes of an orc, one either has the stuff or doesn't. Their adaptability to various environments is almost limitless, thriving in conditions that would spell doom for other species. The only constant in their existence is conflict, whether in the form of grand wars or ceaseless skirmishes. Historical accounts of the orcs, as fragmented and unreliable as they are, paint a picture of an expansion that is both chaotic and accidental. They do not seem to follow any discernible pattern or philosophy in their conquests. Some scholars have postulated that due to their unique ability to bend reality to their will, the orcs have become an intrinsic part of the fabric of the galaxy, a pervasive, unending scourge, as undeniable and ineradicable as the forces of nature themselves. They are not merely a threat to be countered, but a grim reality to be acknowledged. Chapter 4. Orc Society and Tribes. In the teeming anarchic society of the orcs, a semblance of structure can be discerned in their tribal organization under the iron rule of warlords. The formation of these tribes, their identities and histories are shrouded in a miasma of violence and willpower. Membership in these tribes seems to be based on a simple, brutal philosophy, quoted thusly, "Because I am." Their oral traditions, rough and unrefined, indicate a long-standing awareness of the Emperor of Mankind, whom they regard as a formidable war deity. To the orcs, the intricate complexities of human society are perplexing, even pitiable, especially given humanity's worship of such a potent warlord. In their crude lexicon, humans are derisively termed humies, a reflection of their incomprehension and scorn for anything beyond the scope of war. The orcish language, a brutal corruption of Low Gothic, is as rudimentary as cave paintings, However, their written form, consisting of glyphs, can be crudely translated into phonetic symbols. These glyphs serve the basic purpose of communication, far removed from the sophistication required to draft treaties or govern a complex society. The orcs dismiss such intricacies as Humi nonsense, irrelevant to their war-centric existence. Anarchy is indeed the most apt descriptor for this warrior race, where the strong dominate and the weak perish, echoing the techno-barbarian era of terror before the Emperor's unification. Orc tribes, varying from a handful to millions, are ruled more by the whim of their warlords than by any formal structure. Governance, insofar as it exists, is focused solely on leading the tribe to war and preventing internal strife from decimating their ranks prematurely. Larger tribes often splinter into smaller, more nimble warbands led by their own war bosses. This structure, though loose and fluid, grants them a terrifying adaptability and readiness for conflict. It's a system born from chaos, thriving in the furnace of endless war. A dark mirror to the regimented order of the Imperium. Chapter 5. Clans. In the dark and tumultuous expanse of the Orc Dominion, beyond the fleeting alliances of tribes, stand the Orc clans, enduring pillars of their culture, transcending the boundaries of space and time. These clans are not mere gatherings of warriors. They are repositories of ancient traditions and distinct identities, each with its own deeply ingrained customs and beliefs. From the moment an orc comes into being, they are inexorably drawn to their destined clan, an instinctive pull that defines their entire existence. This inherent sense of belonging shapes their behaviors, their values, and even their appearance. The clans are distinguished not just by their traditions, but also by a unique and deeply held belief in the power of color, an aspect so integral to orc psychology that it bends reality to its whims. Consider the Bad Moons, or Flash Gits as they are often derisively called. Their clan is a spectacle of extravagance and opulence, characterized by an unusual rapid growth of teeth, which in orc society is the primary form of currency. They adorn themselves in garish gold, their armor and weapons a dazzling display of their prosperity with bolted-on, shiny stuff. The Bad Moon's clan color, yellow, is synonymous with affluence and the potency of their explosive arsenal. They are the looters, the scavengers, the purveyors of all that is shiny and ostentatious. Their war machines a cacophony of clashing, gaudy finery. In stark contrast are the Goths, the embodiment of unadulterated brute force. Clad in the somber hues of black and green, they are an unstoppable tide of raw strength and aggression. Shunning the complex tactics of others, the Goths prefer to bully their way to the front lines, wielding choppers and power claws with a primal fervor. From their ranks arise the most fearsome of war bosses, warriors who have grown colossal through endless combat. Their society is a brutal meritocracy where might makes right and the weak are mercilessly cold. They don't approve of Flash Gits' tactics, instead prefer the philosophy of don't muck about in engaging in warfare. The Snakebites stand as guardians of ancient ways, their attire a patchwork of beast hides and their weapons primitive yet effective. They adhere to rituals steeped in the primordial traditions of their kind, enduring rites that include surviving the venom of the deadliest creatures in the galaxy. In their unyielding adherence to the old ways, the Snakebites embody the indomitable spirit of orc kind, unbroken and fierce. They prefer simple metal bats and crude weapons to bash their enemy, and scoff at any complex motorized blade which could get clogged with Humi bits. Among these pillars of orc society, the Blood Axes are an enigma. Known for their unconventional tactics, they are the thinkers, the planners, the schemers. They observe and adapt the strategies of other races, employing stealth and guile, a stark deviation from the typical orc way of war. This approach, often seen as heretical by their kin, makes them the outcasts among the clans. They are often seen sending commandos into the most vulnerable parts of the enemy defenses, avoiding the meat grinder of warfare and opting for blitzkrieg tactics. Their preference for camouflage over a specific clan color further cements their reputation as the mavericks of orc society. However, camouflage is a word used charitably in this case. Since they don't quite understand the rationale for camouflage, their painting style is akin to thick coats of random colors in a stripy fashion, often in contrast to their surroundings. Blood axes may be the better known of the orcs, since they are the most likely to be seen as mercenaries, perhaps working for and with rogue traders. Beyond these clans, others carve their own paths. The Death Skulls and Freebooters, for example, revel in piracy and looting, donning scavenged imperial armor as trophies of their conquests. There may be others unknown, perhaps flirting with the color purple. The Orc clans stand as a testament to the diversity and complexity of their race. Each clan, with its unique customs and beliefs, weaves its own thread into the tapestry of Orc culture. A culture defined by war, shaped by belief, and immortalized in the annals of the galaxy. Before we continue with our saga, please consider becoming a Patreon member for graphic novel-style lore guides and HD posters. If you want ad-free videos, consider becoming a YouTube member for this channel. Chapter 6. Gork, Mork, and the Green Wave of Destruction. Woven into the fabric of Orc culture, disparate as it is, there lies a primitive yet powerful form of worship, centered around the twin deities of Gork and Mork. These mythical figures are embodiments of cunning brutality and brutal cunning. They are the pillars upon which Orc religious fervor is built. This duality lies at the heart of their culture, driving the Orcs into a frenzied zealotry, particularly when they don the sacred battle armor mechs, the physical manifestations of their gods, the Gorkonauts and Morkonauts. Pilots chosen to command these colossal machines are believed to be blessed with visions from Gork and Mork themselves, visions that imbue them with an insatiable bloodlust. This divine frenzy, while empowering, often leads these chosen warriors to a glorious and violent end. The distinction between Gork and Mork is a source of endless debate and conflict among the Orcs, often leading to violent clashes between the Gorkers and Morkers, each faction fanatically devoted to their respective deity. Entire bloody skirmish campaigns have been waged against those that believe it is cunningly brutal instead of the more orthodox brutal and cunning. The Orc Empire, a term used loosely to describe their sprawling dominion, has emerged as a formidable threat to the Imperium of Man. As the 41st millennium dawned, entire worlds found themselves ensnared in an unending nightmarish conflict against the Green Tide. Planets have fallen one after another, their human populations subjected to unimaginable horrors. Enslaved by their brutal conquerors, generations of humans are born and perish within the confines of Orc slave camps, their lives reduced to mere cogs in the war machine of their Orc overlords. In this grim reality, the Orc Empire stands as a relentless tide of destruction, their advance seemingly unstoppable. As the Imperium grapples with this ever-growing menace, the question looms large. Can anything halt the Orc onslaught? Or are these worlds doomed to be forever lost in the shadow of the Orcs' brutal dominion? This relentless expansion, driven by a religious zeal and an insatiable hunger for war, paints a stark picture of the Orcs' place in the galaxy. Their empire, though anarchic and disorganized, poses a dire threat to the stability of the Imperium and the galaxy at large. It is a threat born not just from their numbers or their ferocity, but from a deeply ingrained belief in the divine right to conquer and subjugate, a belief inspired by the twin gods of war that they revere, Gork and Mork. Chapter 7. In the grim darkness of the far future, Few phenomena strike terror into the hearts of the Imperium's soldiers like the Orc. Wark! It's a cataclysmic event, a tidal wave of destruction that is unleashed. This apocalyptic surge of aggression is powered by their collective psychic might, an unstoppable force that transforms an assembly of Orcs into a rampaging hurricane of devastation. The Wark continues unabated, until either the enemy is annihilated or some mysterious internal energy is expended. The exact number of Orcs required to trigger this phenomenon remains elusive, but it is often ignited by the visions of greatness shared by one or several Orcs. The ascent of an Orc warboss is a brutal testament to the law of the strongest. It often involves a larger Orc brutally subduing its lesser kin until it either physically grows in size or is perceived as the mightiest among them. The ruling caste, known as Nobs, are larger and more formidable than their brethren. They maintain their dominance through random and senseless acts of violence, a stark contrast to the subtle machinations of power within the Imperium. In the Orc society, leadership is a prize won through sheer brutality, echoing the savage rule of ancient human techno-barbarians. These war chiefs command their forces with the help of titanic war machines known as Gargants, monstrous constructs birthed from the creative minds of mech boys. Starting from piles of scrap metal, these Gargants take no uniform shape or design, other than being apocalyptic engines of destruction, rivaling the Imperium's Titans. These mechanical avatars of Gork are as unstable and chaotic as they are deadly, often as perilous to their crew as to the enemy. It's not uncommon to hear maniacal laughter echoing from within these machines, as crew members are consumed by fire and smoke, even as they lay waste to their foes. Chaos reigns supreme within these Gargants, a nightmarish spectacle for anyone caught in their path. In the shadows of these behemoths, smaller Orc species known as Gretchen scurry about, maintaining the machines in spaces too cramped for their larger kin. Above, the daredevil Storm Boys, Orc shock troops, rocket across the battlefield, drawing scorn from their brethren for their unorky methods of warfare. These flights will more than likely lead to certain death, as likely to result in a collision with a building or an unintended trip into orbit, as they are to reach their intended landing zone. Among the ranks, the Weird Boys represent the dark underbelly of the Wah. Overwhelmed by the psychic tempest, they are driven to madness, becoming wild and unpredictable elements on the battlefield. Fiercely aggressive one moment and cripplingly fearful the next, they embody the chaotic nature of the war itself. Upon the field of battle, they can be seen as throwing themselves into enemy lines, tearing at their foe with their bare hand, or huddled behind a rock in a fetal position. Torn between their loyalty to Gork and Mork, these warriors tread a fine line between genius and insanity, a reflection of the tumultuous psychic energy that courses through all Orcs during the height of a war. Chapter 8. Battlefield Tactics. In the vast war-torn expanse of the 41st millennium, the Orcs embody a threat unlike any other. A menace not rooted in ideology or advanced warfare tactics, but in something far more primal and insidious. Their true indomitability lies in their plague-like ability to multiply. An unyielding tide of green-skinned warriors that knows no fear of death, no concept of strategic loss, nor the meaning of retreat. They are the personification of war's endless appetite, an unstoppable force that seeks only to consume and destroy. This single-mindedness, this complete disregard for self-preservation, makes the Orcs a uniquely formidable foe. Where other races might see a Pyrrhic victory, the Orcs see only the path to ultimate triumph. They embody the very essence of attritional warfare, willing to sacrifice countless of their own to wear down the enemy, to break their spirits and bodies through sheer, overwhelming force. The Orcs' resilience is further compounded by their bizarre life cycle. Born from spores that permeate the very air of the worlds they invade, their numbers replenish rapidly, turning even the most decisive of victories against them into a fleeting triumph. Each battle, each skirmish with the orcs, is but a precursor to the next wave, a relentless cycle of regeneration and destruction. In this unending cycle of war and rebirth, the orcs stand as a dark mirror to the galaxy's struggle for survival and dominance. They are not merely an enemy to be defeated, they are a force of nature to be endured. As the Imperium and other civilizations of the galaxy brace themselves against this relentless tide, they must confront the daunting reality. The orcs, in their savage simplicity, a perpetual engine of war that knows only the language of violence and destruction. None embody this more than the biggest and baddest of all the boys, Ghazghul Thraka. Chapter 9. Ghazghul. In the shadowed halls and battle-scarred trenches of the Imperium, tales are told in hushed tones of great orc warlords whose names evoke fear and awe. Among these infamous figures, perhaps none are more renowned or dreaded than Ghazghul Thraka, the Goth clan leader, a being who embodies the very essence of anarchy, violence, and brute strength. A figure of towering ferocity and cunning, is whispered to be a living prophet of the orc gods, his every act a sermon written in blood and fire. Ghazghul Thraka's legend is not just one of mindless destruction. It is a saga steeped in the dark mysticism of the orc psyche. He is revered and feared in equal measure, seen as the harbinger of Gork and Mork's wrath. His campaigns across the galaxy are not mere conquests, they are crusades. Each world burned and each civilization toppled a testament to his divine mission. The ambition that drives him is as terrifying as it is awe-inspiring. His ultimate goal, whispered in dread by those who have survived his onslaughts, is to amass a war of such magnitude that it would tear the very fabric of reality. Morth seeks to summon the warp gods themselves, to drag them from the immaterial realm into the corporeal universe. Such a feat, if possible, would not only be a triumph of unprecedented scale for the orcs, but would also herald an age of darkness and chaos that could potentially engulf the galaxy. His vision is apocalyptic, a world where the gods of war walk among their disciples, a universe reshaped in the image of orc kind. His actions, driven by this unholy aspiration, have made him more than a mere warlord. He is a figure of mythic proportions, a symbol of the unbridled destructive potential of the orcs. In the annals of the Imperium, Ghazghul Thraka is recorded with a mix of fear and grudging respect. His name is synonymous with the relentless and indomitable spirit of the orcs, a constant reminder of the threat they pose to the galaxy. As he continues his relentless march across the stars, his shadow looms large over the future of the Imperium. A dark portent of a possible future where the line between the material and the warp is forever blurred. Chapter 10. The Rise of Ghazghul. In the annals of the Imperium, where tales of heroes and villains abound, few sagas resonate as profoundly as that of Ghazghul Thraka. The Goth clan leader and paragon of anarchy, violence, and brute strength, whispered among the ranks of the Imperium's servants and troops, his name has become synonymous with the relentless tide of orc warfare. Ghazghul's rise to infamy began on the world of Urk, a planet once claimed by the Dark Angels during the Great Crusade, only to be engulfed by a massive orc war. For millennia, the world remained cut off, its human colony ravaged by endless orc warbands with depleted resources and no form of escape. The orcs were destined to fight among themselves until the arrival of a lowly Garth clan orc boy, Ghazghul. As millennia passed, the Dark Angels attempted to take back the planet. During one such failed campaign, Ghazghul took a bolter round to the face and underwent a transformation. His shattered skull and missing gray and white matter was reconstructed with bionics, and as Orc history details, his brains were shoved back into his skull. And with it came a vision from Gork and Mork to unleash utter destruction and become the chosen leader of their divine will. Empowered by this unhinged awakening, and likely acquired personality and neurological disorders, Guzkull's rise was meteoric. He became an unstoppable force, with bullets either missing him or bouncing harmlessly off. His brutal campaign united the fragmented Orc tribes of Urk, his legend growing with each conquered warlord and each vanquished foe. His unification on Urk mirrors that of Terra's own unification wars in its brutality. Much like the Emperor of Man, Guzkull's ambitions were not limited to a single world. His gaze turned to the stars, the mech boys under his command churning out war machines of unprecedented scale and power. The Wah flowed like never before, with the will of Gork and Mork coursing through Guzkull and his followers. The turning point came with the emergence of a Space Hulk from the warp, an ancient relic of mankind's golden age. Seizing this opportunity, Guzkull rallied his forces, hastily constructing a makeshift fleet to capture the Hulk. Bolting together crude orbit-breaking vessels, the Orcs shoved every Orc they could into these death machines and launched into the atmosphere. Those that somehow made it out of the atmosphere and into space smashed into its hull, some making it through, others disintegrating as they collided into its armor. Some of the smarter boys made a crude landing, and together, enough of them survived to take the vessel and escape the backwater planet that had kept them captive. Despite the odds, they succeeded, battling through hordes of warp demons and claiming the ancient vessel, which they named World Killer. This victory marked a new era for Guzkull, as he and his followers cannibalized the Hulk, fashioning even more formidable war machines and weapons. Chapter 11, The Siege of Armageddon and the Mystery of Guzkull. This ancient behemoth space Hulk, brimming with forgotten technology, became the crucible upon which Guzkull forged his new arsenal. The Orcs cannibalized this relic with fervent zeal, piecing together war machines and weapons of unprecedented might. Amidst the frenetic construction, rivalry and infighting erupted, as encouraged by their warlord, only to fuel the ferocity of their war. The Space Hulk, christened the World Killer, pulsated with the raw energy of Orc psychic energy, making its ominous journey towards the core Imperial world of Armageddon, a planet ravaged by war and stripped of resources, had become a vital hub for the Imperium's ammunition production. As the World Killer descended upon this barren wasteland, Imperial fleets launched a desperate assault to thwart its cataclysmic impact. Despite their efforts, the Space Hulk crashed into the planet, obliterating thousands of Orcs, a mere fraction of Guzkull's colossal horde. Surviving the crash, the Orcs were invigorated by their narrow escape from death. Under Guzkull's command, they split into five formidable hordes, each led by a ruthless Orc commander. This was no ordinary war. It was a maelstrom of violence and brutal speed that ground the Imperial soldiers into dust. The Orcs, in their relentless advance, sought to overrun the Hive cities. As they tore through the fortifications, a brutal blend of guerrilla warfare and slaughter ensued. Human slaves and workshops were pillaged, their resources repurposed to construct more formidable Orc mechs. Among the defenders of Armageddon, one human, Commissar Yarik, stood as a beacon of defiance. Adorned in the black and red of the Goth clan, his bionic eye and claw a testament to his resilience, Yarik commanded both fear and respect. Known for his ruthless discipline and heroic deeds, he became a figure of grudging admiration among the Orcs as a all right for a Humi. As the Hive cities fell, Yarik prepared to defend Hades Hive. Despite unleashing virus bombs and facing waves of suicidal Orc gargants, the Hive stood unbroken. The battle for Armageddon reached its zenith as the Ultramarines, Salamanders, and Blood Angels descended from the heavens. In their midst, Guzkull, obsessed and fanatical, pressed on. He claimed Hades Hive, a bitter triumph as the Astartes arrived too late to stop him. With the planet teetering on the brink of annihilation, all eyes turned to the final stronghold, where Ghazghul would face the might of the Astartes and Yarik. But fate took an unexpected turn. In the heat of battle, Ghazghul Thraka vanished, plucked from the field by forces unknown, possibly by Mork, but more likely by Gork. This abrupt departure was seen as a setback. Whispers of dissent and disfavor began to spread among the orcs. Yarik, recognizing the enduring threat posed by Ghazghul, urged a relentless pursuit, but his calls went unheeded. Yet the story of Ghazghul Thraka was far from over. Defying the natural order of orc society, he clawed his way back to the top by smashing skulls of those that would challenge him. Soon, he rallied followers anew, employing powerful rhetoric rarely heard among orcs. His words, "To smash them humies, we must know them humies better," resonated deeply, uniting the disparate orc factions. This unifying doctrine signaled the inevitable resurgence of Ghazghul, his second coming only a matter of time. In the 41st millennium, whispers of Ghazghul's return grew louder, a harbinger of the storms of war yet to come. But the question always remains at the tip of every orc's tongue. Is Ghazghul cunningly brutal, or brutal and cunning? Thank you for listening. If you like the artwork or want ad-free videos, please consider Patreon or becoming a YouTube member.